Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, praise you, God. Praise you, God. Just trying to find something. Amen. Give him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I was just trying to find the ones that were faithful with the Word of God. I just was thinking of this. I was thinking about how that even in the midst of this, right before the birth of Christ, where here's this prophetic word that was declared for generations that the Messiah was coming. And there was something in Simeon, and there was something in, what's her name? The other woman that prophet was waiting for Jesus. Can't remember her name, I'm sorry. But she was waiting. She was waiting. Her husband passed away, and she was outside the temple. And when Jesus came, God didn't have to show that the Messiah came. But when they were coming to dedicate Jesus, the Messiah. I just think about this. I think about, here's the Messiah, the Savior of the world, coming to church. And nobody knows. Nobody is in anticipation except for two people. And they're waiting there, prophetically waiting for this, the Messiah to come. That every service, every came and they prayed and they came before God. And they were praying for a generation of people. And it reminds me of, there's some scriptures I want to share just for, about the Beatitudes. But they that sow in tears. How does it go? Reap in joy. That scripture, a missionary said that he's seen that prophetically. And he's seen women in Africa, Nigeria. And they had their babies strapped to their backs. And they had a bag of seed. And they were sowing the seed. And while they were sowing, they were crying. Oh, I felt something right there, man. As they were sowing that seed into the ground, they were crying. And the powerful example of this is they could have ate the seed. But they were investing into the future of the child, of their child's child. It's not about how much money you have in a bank. It's about how much seed you have in the ground. And they were crying, but they were understanding that the investment that was being made. See, that's what, sometimes we look at prayers and sometimes I don't get answers or sometimes this or that. And we get this, man, just think about these ones, man. Like Simeon and these ones that were there for generation after generation. While other were going about their own business, they were doing the work of the Lord. They were ambassadors of heaven. Man, I think about this. That we are ambassadors of heaven. Hallelujah. That we can just go with the flow of the way things are in the world, where we could take what's in heaven, the heart of the Father, and bring it to earth. Amen? Come on, then we can establish it in the earth. And I started thinking about the ambassadors. And when you go in and you're an ambassador of another country, as America, you go into another country, it doesn't matter how much money their salary is. You make what the American salary is. It doesn't matter what they eat unless you choose to eat what they eat, but you eat American food. Those in that embassy, those in that area, they cook American food. Man, I just started thinking about that, that even that you're in a, we're eating, partaking, we got to eat what God has provided for us. Not a provision that the enemy will try to give us and force us to eat and partake of, and you got to eat this and just shut up and deal with it. Come on, amen. I'm tired of just dealing with things. Come on, amen. I want to be faithful to God's words. I want to cherish His words. I want to cherish Him, amen. I want to walk it through. I want to be faithful to the promises of God. I want to say yes and amen to them. I want to agree with them. Not worry about the results of it, but stand strong in what God has said and agree with God. I want to be faithful. The Bible says faith pleases God. And that's not all, though. He diligently rewards those. That's God's word. But sometimes that seed, that investment, that harvest might not be the way that I think it is. This has really been heavy on me, man. Really heavy on me, because I feel like God's saying that there's some seeds that we're sowing that you might not partake of, but there'll be a generation that partakes of what you sowed. I believe that with all my heart. But we're so now focused. Now I want mine. I want mine. But God says, I want you to invest in the kingdom, to sow. And this is another scripture that just came to me. Psalms 31, Proverbs. Sorry. I'm all over the place. I apologize. Just want to... Listen. Psalms 31, 20. And when this is talking about the woman, it's talking about the church. This is us. This is what the church is to look like. And it says this. It says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. It's not about her, but it's about others. You ready for this? She is not afraid of the snow. That seems odd, doesn't it? Here's what that means. Because she has sowed, she's not afraid of the snow or the cold or whatever that might come. Because she has sowed. And she knows that God is faithful. That she has sowed. And she has invested. Man, I think about Nehemiah. I think about Nehemiah, how that Nehemiah, he built the temple. He sacrificed it. He didn't even take a salary. He didn't take a salary. That he invested back in. But he said to God, he said, God, he says, remember what I did. It wasn't a place where he's saying, now look what I did for you, God. No, he was to say, God, I know you're faithful, and you reward those that have faith in you, that seek you, that honor you, and you honor them. You honor them. Faithful. That's all of that. I don't know. I just feel like there's some seeds being sown that go farther than we can imagine. I really do. I believe that. I don't always understand everything, and I don't know. And there's some answers that we're going to see some other day. Amen? But as for today, let's just honor God and bless God and just be faithful in what we're called to do. And all through the Word of God, He says, pray. He says, ask and it shall be answered. God will never ask us to do something. Hey, I just want you to pray and ask. Nothing will ever happen, but I just want you to ask and talk to me all the time and ask me for things, and then nothing will ever come about. That's not the way God works. The problem is this, is sometimes our spiritual eyesight is not seeing the way that God sees things. Come on. We really do. Sometimes we depend upon things that we have to see. It has to be, the result has to be the way that I believe it should be. Instead of God doing something that, you know, it's bigger than what I can ever, that He's in control, that He's bigger than this, that we just ask these things just because God said to pray. So we do it. That we talk to Him. And something's being established within us, and we begin to learn to pray, and begin to learn to ask, and begin to learn to see, listen, the more that you ask, the more that you expect something to happen. It doesn't happen, then what you begin to do is begin to reach either deeper, dig down deeper, trust God even more, and something becomes more stronger than it's ever happened before in your life. Or you just be at a place where you never ask for anything and you never expect anything and you just walk along that way. That's the way most Christians walk, their walk. But God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Dependent upon Him. And be so woven with Him that, man, I just, nothing will shake me. Ephesians, let me just give you this. Ephesians 2:2. It says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We walked according to the course, the influence. Say influence. Influence. Now, I want you to see until this time that Jesus is walking. And I'm going to take you to Matthew. I want you to go. Come to Matthew with me real quick. And we're going through this journey, kind of taking you with the disciples, where that beyond the birth, and now we're at the place where that Jesus was tempted. Do you remember where Jesus was being tempted? And I want you to see something. Jesus is altering the course of history as He walks along. He demonstrates, hallelujah, He gives us this course to walk by. He gives you this heartbeat and the pulse of the Father. He gives you a glimpse in a visual demonstration, I don't even know how to explain it, of the Father on earth. Because Jesus was the complete expression of the Father. So everything that Jesus did was what the Father wanted. So this is why I believe it's so important for us that you, man, listen, if you get discouraged, you get down, or sometimes you get frustrated with the Father, you need to look and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get focused back and to see the heart of God. The things that He got ticked off about, the things He got angry about, the things that bothered Him, just like it bothers you. It bothered Him. So He began to walk and alter history and begin to show us a course, a demonstration of us to be ambassadors as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. And Jesus showed us this and He demonstrated us this and He says, and that there, He be the power, influence, that He be the influence in our lives. Just like He says here, He says that the enemy, that we walked under the influence. Think about that. That's what it says. It says that before we receive Christ, we walk under the influence of the enemy. To the order of the enemy. This is why it's so important for us to understand that this is a walk with God. It's a walk with God. Is because sometimes we walked in the order of the world, and sometimes we still try to walk in the beat of the world and the rhythm of the world. And it feels so frustrating. Because why? Because we're listening to two sounds. Do you ever listen to, where I work sometimes at job sites, there's like country fans, there's rock fans, there's rap fans, and they're all playing their own music. That's so frustrating to me. That's why sometimes I just put my earplugs in. Because it's like it's all over the place. Someone's rapping, someone's countrying, you know, it's all over the place. So it's like kind of confusing. I want you to know that that's what sometimes we got to hear the heartbeat of God, or we're going to be frustrated. We got to get back to the heartbeat of God. Come on, if you feel frustrated, we got to turn our heart to hear, put our ear, put our heart like John on the heart of the Father, of Jesus, leaned on him. He says, I just want to hear this. It's so noisy out here. It's so noisy out here, man. So John was that one that put his head on the lap, on the breast of Jesus, that he can hear the heartbeat of the Father. We need to be desperate enough that we sit on his lap and put our lean back into his arms, that place of comfort, like Joy said, and lean back in a place of safety, that we begin to hear the heartbeat, that it doesn't matter whatever's going on. Amen. It's so noisy out there and there's a lot of distractions, but I got to hear the heartbeat of the Father. I got to hear the rhythm of the Father. I got to walk with the rhythm of the Father, because everything else is out of course. Everything else is going a different direction and going its own way, and selfishness and pride and all these things. But I need to turn my heart to the Father and hear the heartbeat of what God's saying. I got to get back in course. I got to get in course and rhythm with God. I got to get a rhythm. Sometimes the disciples teach us that even they sometimes got off rhythm. I remember when Jesus was this is a great opportunity. Father, yes, I'm going to do this right now in this moment. He just fed thousands. Just a few scriptures later, he says, hey, while this is on my mind, he says, he talked about leaven. Remember he was talking about leaven? And the disciples says, he says, yeah, where are we going to get lunch? They're worried about lunch. Come on, man. Listen, don't feel bad. These are Jesus' disciples. He just fed, man, multiplied baskets full of fish and bread, all this stuff. And like just a few scriptures later, they're like, wonder what we're going to do about lunch. Jesus is like, are you kidding me? Stay with me. You're not hearing the heartbeat of the Father. I am with you always. All your needs. Come on, amen. I started thinking about when Cindy was reading the scripture that angels, give it to me, Psalms 91, angels, Wait, what do the angels do? Keep charge of my feet? So that I don't stumble? So I don't bash my feet? Okay, you ready for this, guys? This jumped out at me like never before. What's the next verse? Do you know why the angels are, God's so concerned about my tripping? Because I have an assignment to tread on serpents. I got an assignment. Tell someone you got an assignment. You got an assignment. Hallelujah. Come on, amen. We might get off course for a minute, but get back online, because you got an assignment to tread on serpents. You got an assignment, hallelujah, to step on them, hallelujah. Man, that's why God says I give angels charge. You don't stumble. You don't trip. Why? Because I got an assignment for your feet. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. They're meant to tread on serpents. They are meant not to tolerate them,
not to accept them, not to carry on a conversation with them, come on, amen, but to tread on them, to step on them, to crush them, to crush them, to crush them. I pray that in my generation, I see miracles that we've never seen before. But if I don't, the next generation will. Because why? Because we are sowing and we are tilling up the ground. Come on, amen. We're tilling up the ground. Come on, amen. We're getting back to the assignment that God has given to us from creation. Come on. The disciples, he showed, listen, I'm going to show you, hallelujah, not to be bullied. Come on. I want you to walk with me. Come on. Follow me. Come on. I want you to follow me. Leave aside. Well, yeah, but I can't come. I got to get all my food. I got to get this in there. Leave it behind. I'm going to show you just to trust in me. I'm going to lead the way. Looks foolish to the world. Come on, but you got to have wisdom. You can't. No. Just leave them behind. Oh, but that. Sometimes we try to think things out so much that we miss out on the moves of God. We got to miss out on the opportunity to sow and to not eat our seed, but to sow our seed. All right. I told you I was going to be all over the place. Now, I'm giving you this because Jesus went, he says, and he was... this is in where Jesus is tempted. He was tempted. He was showing us how to. And I talked to you last week how that it's written. He declared, it is written. Come on, amen. He just kept saying, it is written. It is written. He kept just declaring back... The Father, listen, the enemy gets wore out after a while. You irritate him after a while if you continue to be faithful in God's Word. And he'll flee. Come on. Eventually. Come on, amen. I want to wear out my enemies. I want to wear them out. Come on, amen. I want to eat from the table of the Father and my enemies be wore out waiting on me. Come on, amen. That they're just, you know what? He's not going to give in. He's not going to give in. He's not going to quit. We've thrown everything at this guy. We've thrown everything at these people. They're not going to give up. So let's just go. Let's outlast our enemies. Let's outlast them. Come on, amen. Let's outlast them. Hallelujah. I'd like to hear that. Amen. He says, so it says, but Jesus was led by the Spirit. We went over that, all that. It says, and Jesus says, repent. This is in verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you think of things. Come on, amen. We talked about that, where that we change the way that we're thinking. Repent. Open your minds and give them over to something entirely new. This is what you do when you walk with God. You completely, God reverses your thinking. And we offer it back to Him. Change my thinking, God. Change my thought patterns. It's not always easy to do. But I heard something the other day, and the guy was talking about, he went through, he had this oppression and that stuff like that. And he says, man, this is how he combated it. He's a great man of God, Prince, not Joseph Prince, but he was English. He was like in the 70s or something. But he was really big. I can't remember his name, but first name. But he was battling oppression. It was the hardest thing for him because he'd be praying for people and they'd be getting healed. And he'd have this complete dark oppression. He's like, it took everything within him to minister the Word of God because he's like, how can I do this? And he's ministering. And he says, so he finally went through this, and God really spoke to him, broke through something, broke through this in his heart, and he realized what was taking place and this and that. So he began to pray, and he began to, every time a thought would come, he began to speak these certain scriptures. And I'm thinking, oh, this is cool, man. Like, when did it, 3 years. 3 years he was faithful. Now, here's what I mean. Listen, sometimes we don't realize how deep the dirt is of things that have been buried upon us from generations of generations of generations of generations.
And we are digging out by the power of God. Sometimes people just lay down and just give up. But there's a generation that's breaking through that, saying, man, I'm not going to get buried by this, but I'm going to break out of this thing. And they finally broke. It broke. And he says it was like a cloud lifted over his head. He's like, what? This is the way things are. And from that moment on, things just released. It's powerful. But I like to hear stories like that. I do. Are you okay? All right, let me give you this scripture. I'm trying to jump back and forth from Luke into Matthew, but Matthew 5:17 says this, and I wanted to read this because this is what I mean by a power of influence. Jesus was walking with these disciples. How many of you guys have watched the Chosen? Have you watched that? I like to see it because it's kind of like walking with these disciples. Sometimes there's some things that aren't always, but it tells you ahead of time. But it's just neat. Sometimes you go to enter into personal people's, each one of these disciples personally. And it's kind of neat to see that some of them had some disorders. Like Matthew, you know, Matthew was kind of, you know, he had some quirks about him. He was quirky. Kind of like us. You know what I'm saying? He had these little quirks about him, you know what I mean? This is what I want you to see this, but it was the power of influence. We've been influenced by so many different things, but Jesus was showing them a different way of being influenced by the power of heaven. So he says, and it came to pass a certain day, the teaching, and the Pharisees and doctors in law were sitting by out of every town. This is Luke 17, 5:17. He says in Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power. Think about that. The influence of Jesus, his influence was available. And there was only two that were, or 12 of them that were responding, walking with Jesus at this time. But the power and influence. I just want you to know that I think this is so powerful because people were sitting, going about their business. And they were doing their things. And here's God being available. Come on, amen. Making himself available for his influence, the power of his influence, to touch those around. And it says this, they began to reason in their minds. This is what happens. This is what we do. We begin to think about it. We begin to reason. And what we do, we go back to our influence of before. That's why our minds need to be, we need to have a new way of thinking. Because we go right back to before. Maybe unanswered prayer, maybe someone didn't get healed the way you thought they would. Come on, being real. Maybe a prayer didn't get answered, or maybe God didn't do it the way, or maybe whatever that thing might be in your life happened, and it keeps coming and repeating back. And we go right back to that place sometimes in our thinking. And that becomes our influence to our decisions. That will become our influence to the decisions that we make. I got to make sure that Jesus is my influence. Not from something before, based on something before. Okay? So if you keep going down, it says, what reason? Jesus asked him, he said, what reason? The word reason means to debate with yourself. You begin to debate, begin to question God. And whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or say, rise up and walk. But they that may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive. Not only to forgive sins, but to heal people. So this is what he talks about. He says that I'm disrupting the way that you think of things, of sin and sickness. And Jesus talked about those both same things we don't have a hard time believing that God forgives you of your sins. Do we? Come on, help me. We don't. We just think, oh yeah, He forgives me of my sins. But if you say that God wants to heal me, but Jesus says, hey, He says, you have a hard time thinking about whether or not it's easier to heal a person or forgive sins. He says, they don't have a hard time forgiving sins, but the hard part of it is disease and sickness. Of Him healing me. And Jesus says, I'm just going to deal with both of these at the same time. The same way that I deal with sin is the same way that I deal with disease. But here's the problem. It is the power of influence that the enemy has had upon the church. Well, it's just not meant to be. What we do is we try to reason it out to make it have sense to it. If I could say, well, maybe God just didn't want to heal me. I can put an answer to something. I feel like going here tonight. All right? You all right? It, to explain it with some type of reasoning. Or maybe God's just trying to teach me something, Renee. Maybe I'm going through this at the time. I want you to know that we go through things, and God will use those things to teach me something, but God will not do those things so that I learn something. God did not put sickness on. He did not send His Son, Jesus, to die, to take away sickness, to put it upon Him, all the sickness, all the disease. By His stripes we were healed, to put Him back on me again. That's contrary to God. Why would God go against His own Son? Jesus would be like, hey, Dad, hang on. I died for them that they would not have. Oh, yeah, that's right. But listen, there's such an influence of power in the world of sickness and disease that it's like the thorns and the thickets and the weeds and all these things that we're navigating through this thing. Those thoughts, the church doesn't help it sometimes. This is what makes me say this, because I see Jesus walking on this journey, and who came against Him was the church. They had a hard time. They could reason and say, well, no, God, we're going through all this. We went through all this stuff because we're bad. We're not good enough. We're not worthy. We're not this or that. So God's putting these sicknesses and disease on them. That when someone has leprosy, that don't touch them. Don't get near them. Don't get by them. Don't go beside them, because God's teaching them something. God put something on them. That was the church. Yet Jesus reversed it, and He touched it and healed it. They said, don't touch it or you'll get it. And Jesus touched it and healed it. Come on, amen.
All right, I'm done here. I ain't going nowhere. Psalms 110:3. The power of influence to change our conditions. That we understand the power of influence that is within our lives to change our conditions. That He's faithful. And then Jesus, all the way through the wilderness, Jesus showed us how to live under the power of the influence of the Holy Spirit, to speak the words of the Father. He shows us, leads us. This is how you walk under the influence of the kingdom of the Father. Speaking His words. Even if sometimes
We don't see the results of it, but you speak it, you declare it, you declare it, you get yourself in line with it. That's why it feels tough sometimes, because you're getting things back in order. And it's hard sometimes when you get things back in order, because there's a lot of parts in trying to disrupt that. It says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of my power." How many of you guys know it's the day of his power? This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day. Hallelujah. He died on the cross that you could walk in his power and his influence. This is the day. Wow. That is the prophetic declaration that with Jesus at the Calvary, at his resurrection life, this is the day the Lord has made. He created a day that we're to walk in, rest in who he is and everything that he has under his influence. In the beauties of his holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Wow. Let me finish with this. But Jesus came, and we see here, I didn't get past four, but Jesus seen the mending the nets, and I always think about that when I think about it. He disrupted their system. It's comfortable. Sometimes you rely on things that have been comfortable, that have been easier, that it's easy. This is an easy way. Jesus comes and disrupts it. Living in faith. Living in faith and not by sight. Jesus disrupts it. And he shows them. And it says, then all of a sudden he goes through all these different things. You could read them yourselves. But blessed be are these. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is, I just want you to see this. Nice ringtone. But these are the Beatitudes. These are the kingdom attitudes that we're having. So here's his disciples. He tells his disciples, these are the attitudes that you're to have. And this is basically the new commandment. Jesus came to fulfill the law. So he's given you a new commandment. This is it. This is the new. As he sits them down, just like Moses came down from the mountain, it says Jesus came and he came before them. He sat down on the edge of the mountain and all these people around him, and he began to declare to them, blessed. This is, you will live in a state of bliss. This is the God's intention. So there is hope. Tell someone there's hope. There's hope for those that mourn. There's hope that those that wherever situation, it goes on and on, tells each one of these things. Blessed are they that are poor, those that are poor in spirit, those that have been down, those that are empty, that say, I have nothing else. Blessed are those that are hungry. Come on. He talks about those ones that are placed with it. Their radars are turning to God. They say, God, Lord, I have the influence that I've had in my life. I need something more, God. But this isn't working for me. There's something within me that is calling for something greater. Hallelujah. Something greater that I know in my heart that I just don't want to lay down and give up. But I know there's something more. I'm talking to those ones. Those are the ones he's talking to. He says, if this is it, this is what you want. If you want to stay in this connection, if you want to get connected, if you want to take hold of it, I'm talking to you. You might not be able to make sense of everything. You might not always have the answers whenever you need them. But follow me. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men rival you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. lot of the Word of God, what Jesus says, brought conflict to people's hearts. Because we reason it in our mind. But out of a relationship with Him, we become less afraid to confront those things as we trust Him. That's what God's doing, man. Just walking through this journey, trusting, because every different new thing we come, we just lean upon Him more to see us through these things. To trust Him more than we did yesterday. To lean more upon Him. Amen? To acknowledge Him. To walk with Him. And then we go on. He says, "Rejoice exceedingly glad, for this is the reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And Jesus starts out His ministry telling these disciples that are following Him, "You will be persecuted." I believe that, unfortunately, the church has not prepared the church for persecution. Has not prepared the church to be faithful when things are tough. That when everything goes wrong, you feel like God has forsaken. Unfortunately, the church has only been taught one side of the gospel. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's a tough place for a lot of churches to preach. Because the people don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But to live in a blessed place with that blessing, I have to be willing to pick up my cross and die. I have to be willing to be a place where that I'm offended with this gospel. I used to, whenever something would offend me, I'd skip over it. I'm being honest. But now I want you to know that it's that places that offend me that I realize now that God's saying, "Listen, this is the blessing when you find out why you're offended. When you're offended by this, when you read scriptures like, how about if Jesus would have hashtagged, if you don't hate your mother and father, you can't follow me." The church would have emptied because everybody would have been, "Did you hear what Jesus said? Are you kidding me? We're to hate our parents?" But here's the thing. Instead of trying to find out, why does that offend me? Because here's why. I know His heart to love your mother and father. I know Him because I'm in a relationship with Him. I know that that's not His heart. So I'm offended now. Why am I offended? Because He's saying this. Unless I'm willing to love Him more, I cannot love my parents, my wife, my daughter. I cannot love them unless I love Jesus more than I love them. I cannot give my wife what she needs unless I love Jesus more than my wife. Unless I'm willing to turn aside everything, I can't love her unselfishly. But unless I'm able to love Him more, then I can love her more. I can love you more. And I can love those who persecute me. Amen. Last story. There was a guy. He had a dream. This guy has some awesome dreams. I said, "God, give me one of them, man. A couple of them. It's awesome. I have horrible, goofy dreams. Just goofy dreams. I wake up and I'm thinking, nope, that wasn't God." The ones that you just remember for a minute, then you're like, all right, it's not worth remembering that. But listen, So this guy, he's at the front row of every one of his conferences. There's these guys standing there, and they're ridiculing him. They're disagreeing. And every time they would go after the conference, he would post things that this guy's he's not of God, and he's not of God, and a false prophet. And they would have signs that hold him up. This man's a false prophet, and before you come into every one of the meetings. And they did this for like 2 years. And every time they were there, he'd be there and he'd look out and they'd be sitting right there. And he'd be like, oh. And then he said he began to pray to God and ask him, God, listen, I know you probably won't do this, but God, if you can like remove them, like maybe off the face of the earth, that'd be great. And God didn't answer that prayer. So after that didn't work, he's like, you know, God, you just maybe help my heart. So, but one night he's having a dream, and they're really causing him so much conflict in his heart that he's like really frustrated. Like he's not even having any joy doing what he's doing just because these three guys. And so he has this dream, and as he's dreaming, he says he's sitting with God, and he's like sitting on his shoulder, kind of like leaning against him, you know, like kind of like, I don't know, I could kind of see like Santa. You know what I mean? Like you're just kind of like, this is Dad, you know what I mean? I'm like just kind of holding him, you know. And he looks at him, he says, hey, he looks up at him, he says, can I show you something? He's like, yeah. He says, yeah. He says, yeah, I'd like to show you something. So all of a sudden he shows him something. He says, look at this. And here's this image of this beautiful, it's beautiful. It's, oh, it's awesome. What is it? He's like, hold on. He says, you want me to show you more? Yeah, show me more. All of a sudden he says, here comes these hands. And these hands begin to work on this thing. And they're creating this unbelievable image. And it's beautiful. And while they're working at it. And he says, and they would slow down. He says, no. He says, you got to help them. He says, what do you mean? He says, you got to cheer them on. He says, no, you really got to cheer them on. He says, yeah, come on, you got this. Come on, keep going. Come on, do this. You got this. He's yelling at him. He says, hallelujah, come on. So he's cheering the hands and they're working even faster. And all of a sudden, he says, they create this huge, unbelievable image. And God says, wow. And he's sitting beside God. He says, God, what is it? He said, it's you. And all of a sudden, he opens his eyes and reveals it was the three guys. Those hands that were creating this masterpiece, it was those three guys that God was using. And he was showing them, he says, listen. He was showing them this. He was cheering them on. He was trusting God. And God was working on him. Doing something in him. Through him. That was greater than he could imagine. He was even using his enemies. And after that, he seen him on the front row. He ran out and he ran up to him. Hey guys, how you doing? Great to have you here. I'm so excited you're here. And you're like, if you guys need anything, please tell them, ask me. I'm here for you. They never came back after that. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to bless those who persecute you. The kingdom of God doesn't always make sense. But we're just to trust Him. He's faithful. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I pray to God, Lord, that you just, as we take hold of your word and take hold of all that you have, God, Lord, as we walk in this journey, as we read it together, I pray to God, Lord, each one here, as we open up your word to God, Lord, as we begin to read the Gospels, as we begin to read them and see, God, Lord, I pray to you, open our eyes to see the journey that you desire to have with us. Not just with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all these disciples, but God, Lord, each one of those are us, God, Lord, that you want to have this journey right here, right now, God, Lord, and greater of a journey that you have with us because you're in me, hallelujah. You're in me, God, Lord, that we begin to hear your voice, we begin to hear your heartbeat, God, Lord, and all those demonstrations that you did with them, God, Lord, you said to God, Lord, that greater works that we will do, hallelujah, greater works, that's your word, God, Lord, because you're within us, God. You abide within us, God, Lord. I just pray to God, Lord, that we begin to just take hold of that, God, Lord, with all of our hearts, God. And then everything that we go through, God, Lord, is God, Lord, we're sowing something greater than we can imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.